All right, and we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of the great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. And boy, do we need some support right now. That's all I'll say. It is truly appreciated. Well, hopefully he'll be able to join us today because Jamie Sweet, the man that's behind the five great things, will probably not have five great things to talk about, except for the fact that he called it. He said that today's game against Detroit would be a trap game. We fell right into the trap, and Admiral Akbar himself said in Star Wars, it's a trap, and we definitely fell into it as the Lakers did lose substantially to the 4-14. Let me get that right. I'm sorry. They're 5-14 now after they beat the Lakers. 5-14, Detroit Pistons. They fell to them 107-92. And here today to talk about all the things going on with this game. And believe me, for Lakers fans, there's not much going on. It is a good man indeed. I know him as Tom Wong, but you know him as the mastermind behind Lakerholics.com. And you're going to be seeing some angry, angry articles probably coming out in the not too distant future. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, all I can say is this. This was the poorest performance by a Laker team in the past 2 years, possibly ever since LeBron James has actually stepped foot in a Lakers uniform.
No, I don't think it was the worst game the Lakers played. We played some pretty lousy games at various points in times, and
this was up there.
It's just one of those situations where we just couldn't make a shot. I mean, we must have missed so many bunnies around the basket in the fourth quarter there. It was ridiculous. And then we started settling for threes and they weren't going in. And Blake Griffin had his best game of the year. D. Rose looked pretty good, and man, I wish we could land Wayne Ellington in a trade. That kid can shoot the ball, and it's the NBA, man. They're the 300 best players in the world, and they showed us tonight that any team can beat any team on any given night.
This was the worst performance for me from the Lakers in the past 3 years. Sorry. And we did have Wayne Ellington at one time. So he's been cut on more than one occasion by teams, so this is not exactly the – he is a good shooter. I will give him that. But, you know, there have been points where the Lakers could have gotten him in here. And wouldn't you know, Blake Griffin, who has looked awful all year long, managed to go ahead and psych himself
up.
He always
plays well against the Lakers.
Well, apparently. I'll give Blake that.
It's just one game of 72, man. That's the way I look at it. These things happen and you just got to move on.
I know you had some lofty expectations, but now the Lakers are not meeting those record expectations.
No, I thought they could go 6-1 or 7-0 on the road trip.
But I meant overall, as far as I know, you had them on a 25-4, 25-5.
I thought they were going to go undefeated on this road trip. And, we lost the buzzer beater at Philadelphia because we just didn't make our free throws. And, AD played subpar, and tonight without AD, it was just too much for LeBron. You could see the guy was winded by the end of the game. Those threes that were falling so easily in the first half were all hitting the front of the rim or slightly off. You know, I always watch the arc of the ball as the people shoot it, and you can usually predict which shots are going in from deep. And tonight they didn't look like they were doing well at all. So I don't know what you can say. You know, teams have these games, and it's the regular season for the Lakers. Frank Vogel was obviously working with a lineup. Marc Gasol had another very poor performance. Dennis Schroeder had a poor performance. Wes Matthews was useless out there on the court. I thought Talen Horton Tucker played very well, 3-for-3 from deep, made some excellent baskets, some good moves, some good assists, played pretty good defense. You know, it was interesting. I looked at the stats from the game with Philadelphia, and I've never seen anything like this in a post-game thing. When I took a look at the team itself, the defensive and offensive ratings for that one game, and what was really ironic about it is, if you rank them by the defensive ratings, you could see the defensive ratings going down and getting higher and higher. And if you looked right next door to the offensive ratings, they were going the exact opposite way. In other words, every player who played well defensively against Philly had the inverse reaction defensively. So it was just, they couldn't seem to get it together. And tonight, you know, this is the price you pay, as we've all said all season long, when you allow a team to stay close, or when you have to constantly come from behind 5 or 6 points and come from behind 5 or 6 points. And I thought the telltale of the game, when I started to worry about it getting into that situation, was there was probably 4 or 5 times during the game when we pulled out to like a 6 to 8 point lead, and we would go down to the other end of the court with a chance to get it up by 10, and we would miss a bunny, or we'd get a shot blocked, or we'd turn the ball over, and they'd come back down the other way and hit a couple of threes. And all of a sudden it was back to a 2-point game. They just didn't have any killer instinct tonight. They deserved to lose, and they lost.
That they did, my friend. They did. They did indeed. You play like it, you deserve to lose, and that's what happened tonight.
Yep.
Also here with us today to go ahead and cry in our own misery is a good man indeed. It is the man behind many an article on LakerHolics.com. He's in the dark. He is mysterious. Hopefully he's not hiding from shame because of today's game. It is Sean Grice, a.k.a. Magic Man. Explain to me how the Lakers only scored 34 points in the second half. And don't tell me it's because of Anthony Davis not being in the game, because he didn't play in today's game.
No, you can't use him absent as an excuse, unfortunately, in this situation. I'm reminded of Dr. Seuss, Gerald. Stink, stank, stunk. That's what it was in the second half. It was awful. Yeah. It was some dreadful basketball, man. Some of the worst I've seen since, you know, LeBron's been a Laker. Even in 2019 when we had so much transition in and out.
See, I said it. He said the same thing I did.
Yeah, but that's recent memory over long-term memory.
They played a lot like the Lakers that we knew for
We got beat
years.
By bigger amounts than this 15 points, and we've had games where we weren't even close.
Well, this looked
was a
like
a winnable game down to 5 minutes left in the game.
Well, this looked like the actual Lakers like they were before LeBron, which is a very disappointing game.
You mean the baby Lakers?
I mean the Lakers that started off with Wayne Ellington. The last time Wayne Ellington was on the Lakers, that's what it would look like to me when he was starting on the Lakers.
Who was on that team with Wayne Ellington back then? What team was that?
Julius Randle, Wayne Ellington, I think. Who was the other? This was before most. Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. Yeah, that scintillating lineup that just basically was heading to greatness and then got split up. And, of course, they started winning after that. But, Sean, any last thoughts on just how to right this ship? Because they better get it right because they're heading into Boston, and that's not going to get any prettier.
Yeah, no. Actually, Gerald, you know what? I think this was actually a good thing to happen to them now rather than happening 6 weeks from now. I think this is a good kick in the ass reminder that the small improvements that we're looking for and the levels of their consistency need to be cranked up a gear. I mean, I'm not saying LeBron's going to go into super turbo max mode yet. But it just seems like there are little things, right? Like, for example, doesn't it seem like sometimes Schroeder's lost in translation, in transition? Like, it seems like he wants to run parallel to LeBron. I'm thinking, you know, you need to run to the corner or to above the arc, stay behind a little bit. It just seems like he's trying too much in transition. Am I seeing things?
No, you're seeing everything fine. Unfortunately, the problem is that right now it's not clicking at all. Yesterday, they have excuses why they lost, and very, very valid ones. You know, they were LeBron flagrant, a AD make free throw, and a Montrezl Harrell bucket of any kind from winning that game. Today, it was just no excuses at all. And here today, go ahead, Laker time. Go ahead.
The supporting cast basically didn't come through. You know, Schroeder 10 points. Trez, 8 points. KCP 6 points. You know, you can't win a game against anybody in this league if you're in, you know, and Gasol, I don't think Gasol had a basket, did he? Zero.
Yeah.
You know, so you got no points from the guys that you're really counting on to carry the load, especially without AD. It's a tough situation to hold because LeBron can't be Superman every single game. And he played 38 and a half minutes last night, and he played pretty good 36 minutes tonight. So, you know, it's just the wear and tear of the season. It's 72 games. It's just two games out of 72. I'm not worried about it. The Lakers are still the best team. They'll have to refire. They'll have to refuel themselves. They'll have to get back into shape and play a better game against Boston. They don't want to lose three in a row.
Oh, we're looking up at Utah. You know, yeah, so that's what we're looking up right now.
Yeah. Technically, we're the second best team in the league.
Well, I'm not worried about that. You know, if anybody who's jumping off the bandwagon after two games like the last two games, you know, is a fair weather fan.
Well, I'm not jumping off it. I'm just extremely concerned because you know what? The guy who's here now to rub it in our faces. And because he called,
I think it's because Jamie predicting that this was going to be a trap game.
Yes.
Probably why we lost the game, man.
Yes. The guy who took him.
Pretty sure I'm in LA and it's raining, so not my fault.
Well, he is the man who predicted it, the guy who went ahead and, you know what, was our own Admiral Akbar before the Lakers fast break.
You got a new nickname now.
Yes.
I'm down.
It is the Akbar of Lakerholics.com.
Five unlucky things.
Yes, five unlucky things indeed. All right, man, you spread it out. Tell me. Although I will say, if you were betting on the over for Kyle Kuzma and 15 shots, you won the over today because he did take 17 shots. Looked all right, but again,
Kyle played good. Kyle's one of the few guys who came through.
He had to in Detroit, or else he was really going to have issues. But there wasn't much.
He made some good plays. He made some excellent shots. Some excellent moves.
He blocked.
The rest of the team was a lot better in the first half than the second.
Yeah.
Well, that was the entire thing. Yeah, the second half.
The second half was the fourth quarter was horrible. 14 points.
Yeah, the whole second half was bad. Yeah, it was abysmal.
So tell me, Jamie, 34 points in the second half, just disgusting overall. Just a very disappointing game, and definitely the Lakers fell into the trap.
This is one of those games where I kind of. The lack of an offense that Frank Vogel has installed beyond you go LeBron is a little bit annoying. It really starts to show in back-to-backs without both AD and LeBron when the guys are tired. There were whole stretches where it was like five guys standing around watching LeBron try to make a move or watching Schroeder or Caruso try to make a move. And especially when LeBron's on it, you got to run a set. You got to do something. There's not enough individual one-on-one talent on that team to play that way for 48 minutes without AD and LeBron. LeBron started great. He was, I think, 7 for 7 to start, and then I think was something like 2 for 11, 2 for 12 the rest of the game. You know, really just fell off a cliff. I also thought that the flagrant foul KCP took on Plumlee was both unnecessary and really fired up Detroit. Who cares if Mason Plumlee makes a layup? Like, let him make a layup. Like, don't add to it.
He was retaliating for Thielen, and he got thrown to the floor when Plumlee just basically pulled the chair on him.
Plumlee's one of those guys that's going to play physical. I mean, honestly, I thought Detroit just played a lot harder the whole game from beginning to end.
Yep.
A lot harder. Like, it wasn't really even a question after halftime. It was just like the Lakers just kind of, I think, like we were all talking about, walked in here thinking like, well, this is a W. Might as well wait for the game to end. And it turned out that you really had to play for 48 minutes of basketball because Detroit did. Blake Griffin turned back the All-Star clock.
Yeah.
Plumlee had a great game. The lack of interior.
Took the problem of youth back from LeBron.
Yeah, well, LeBron, you know, this is the year I think LeBron will start to show his age in back-to-backs. I think he'll start to show his age a little bit without AD to take some of the scoring pressure off. He just didn't have a lot of lift tonight. You know, it might just be, you know, what are we, five, six days into this road trip, right? You know, might be a little bit of that, but with travel, unlike the bubble, right? Instead of just going back to your room and resting, you're now hopping on a plane, driving to another state, getting to another hotel, checking in, all that stuff. So I think all of that is gonna show up a little bit in LeBron's back-to-back games. it's too bad that we fell into the trap. I'm with Laker Tom. I was actually a little more upset that we lost the Philly game because we came out so flat. And yeah, we put on a great comeback and that's cool. But like, we ought not to have ever put ourselves into the position of having to make that comeback last night. Like, we ought not to have put ourselves into the position of being down 15 with like 3 minutes to go in this game.
You know, it's almost like they thought they were going to be able to pull that same comeback thing this game.
My five things is going to be about
which you can't just turn on every night. Like,
that's exactly what five things is going to be about tomorrow.
You can turn up
about
defense and turn up the offense, but to come back from like 10 down when you got 3 minutes to go
and no AD,
that don't happen very often.
And all of our 3-point shooting is coming back to earth. Every single Lakers, except maybe LeBron, is coming back to earth in their 3-point game. Sean, I saw you had your hand up, so
I don't
want to bogart the mic.
No, I wanted to piggyback.
Well, they did shoot 43% from three. Let's go ahead and put that in context right there. Overall.
As a team, but like the three guys who were among the league leaders did not shoot great.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they showed a graphic at the start that said four of the best 3-point shooters in the league were at this game. And three of them didn't shoot well, but one of them did, Wade Ellington.
No, KCP 0-for-1. Caruso 0-for-1. Who else is on our team as a top 3-point shooter?
Somebody on the other team.
Wayne Ellington was great.
Yeah, Wayne Ellington was great.
He was 6-for-9.
So I just wanted to piggyback off what something Jimmy was saying. I mean, it's common knowledge. If you play with a guy like LeBron, you play with a guy like Magic, you play with a guy like Zeke, if you move without the ball, you cut, they'll find you. It's like stink to a hunk of cow dung. It's just, they go together. So, you just have to find a way to manufacture points on a back-to-back. I mean, if you're tired, I understand LeBron maybe wants to cherry pick. He doesn't want to drive as much. So, like Jamie was saying, run sets. Run different things.
Yeah, we didn't run any sets. You're absolutely right.
No offense.
Misdirections. Run in inverted stuff. Instead of LeBron rolling to the rim, why don't we get Caruso and Kuz on a pick and roll? I mean,
pull a feather out of the Luke Walton cap and run the weave. I mean, something, man. Like, come on, dude. Like, it got like after like seven or eight trips down the court where it was like five out, but nobody doing anything. Like, five out isn't enough if you just stand there. Like,
right.
I don't care how good a shooter you are. Like, it doesn't matter if nobody's moving. Basketball is not like football. You're not going to get by like standing in a spot, any sport. I don't care. There's no sport except maybe golf where all the action happens from a stationary, you know what I mean? Like, there's no sport where you're going to do better because you're standing still. Right. Like, there's none.
What happened in the fourth quarter is they lost their legs completely. You can see that by all of the missed bunnies underneath the basket. It's the back-to-back finally, the back-to-back and the travel finally all mounted up on them. And
Detroit came with a physical game that we were unwilling to match.
And they were red hot at the end.
We pushed and held and grabbed and fouled when we should have defended and moved our feet and done all the things. And that's tiredness, but it's also focus. I just think that they didn't focus on this game. Like we all said, it was the Admiral Akbar game, and they definitely fell right into the Emperor's trap. And there was no Lando Calrissian and the Millennium Falcon to make that Death Star run or Han Solo.
But we're not dead. We're not dead.
Oh, certainly not. No.
It's a minor wound.
No. Not even that.
Nobody will remember it when we hoist the 18th trophy.
Well, but I think that the key I think the key is to take the lessons from losses. Is this team as good as last year's team at taking the lesson from the loss? Last year's team, if they lost the first game in a back-to-back, they didn't show up kind of like, we'll win this one. They came up at wanting to prove that they could win this one, showing it the team that was after them like, hey, we lost and we're not losing again. You got to beat us. And that's not the team. I didn't see any of that team tonight at all. And that, I think, was probably the most disappointing thing. And that's what I hope the coaches and, the vets come back and say, hey, I know it's not the same team. We're not going to be the same team. We got to prove it all over again. Nobody's gonna like come June mail us that trophy just because we look cute. Like, it's not how it works, man. So That's I think the biggest thing. Like, can this team be as good at last year's team at learning the lessons from losses? And there were very few of them that the Lakers had to learn last year. Very few. And I would say that there's already a lot more this team has to learn. You know, the turnover issue is just every single game, you know, coming up on 14, 15 turnovers a game as a team. That's not going to get it. That's not going to get it done. We didn't make enough shots to turn the ball. You know, there wasn't enough offense that you're not going to turn the ball over if you don't do anything. But the Lakers as a team, I think, are, you know, well into double digits as a turn in the turnover department. But to me, turnovers and free throws, those are focus. That's a focus stat. And we're not winning the focus stats so far this year too often. This road trip was a good test. And so far, I think we're only getting like a C+, frankly. For me, I mean, other people might feel differently, and that's fine, but I'm calling C+ right now.
I might give him a C-.
I'm getting closer into the D range myself.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. But I'll tell you what, there's still, you know, like I said, more to come on this road trip. They can still salvage it, come out 5-2, and still come out of it somewhat okay. Although, again, tonight's loss really stings, and it's going to sting for some time to come. But before we head on out, guys, I want you to go ahead and update everyone on Lakerholics.com and what you're doing for that site. So first, Jamie Sweet, I don't think they're going to be great things, but I know you got 5 things coming up for Lakerholics.com.
Got 5 things. It's going to be a back-to-back. My work has just been blown up, so I still got to watch the Philadelphia game. I kind of saw the highlights, read some stuff about it. So I got it. That's either later tonight or probably later tonight. I'll just buckle down and watch that game. But it's interesting to see how the team is responding to the pressure of repeating. Like, who is stepping up and who is not? And again, it's still fairly early, although I think we're into what Frank Vogel would consider the real regular season. So my 5 things are on the site are going to probably focus on, you know, the back-to-back and kind of what I feel like is an overall lack of focus from the team.
They look bored. They look really bored.
They look totally bored. That's a great way of putting it.
Sean, what are you working on for Lakerholics.com? And hopefully it's something other than, you know, something like you were talking about in regards to where the team is headed, or stunk, or stink on poop. Hopefully it'll be something not relating to manure.
It won't, Gerald. It won't.
Okay. Even though they're playing like manure.
FYI, 14 turnovers a game. 14 turnovers a game for the season. That's way too high.
Because they're not running as much, especially when you're not running as much.
So, we're through the quarter pole of the season. When you look back at the second season of a previous championship and the last 2 incarnations of Laker dynasties, the first championship team of Shaq and Kobe won 67 games. They were battle-tested in the playoffs. They had to earn it against Indiana. Second season, they won 56 games in the regular season, and everybody was, oh, here are the Spurs. The Spurs are coming for the Lakers. And Kobe and Shaq dominated them, and that was that. With Kobe and Powell, the first season they were together again, they won 60-plus, 65 games. The second season was different. They won 57. They were battle-tested the second time around. They didn't have to face a fully formed Celtics team in 2009. Nope. So this season has been a roller coaster, Joe. It's been up and down. I mean, right now we're going through the Bradley Beal sweepstakes as well. I mean, how many teams are in that boat?
All of them but the Wizards.
Yeah, 29 other teams. You know, oh, but the Lakers are involved. It's like Gerald said, we don't have what it takes to acquire as far as draft capital goes.
Have got anything else for Lakerholics.com fans, or is that what you're working on right now?
Yeah, just you know, going through the quarter poll with us and a quarter poll of the season. I mean, we've got disappointing teams. We've got very surprising teams. A disappointing team is Miami. I mean, I thought this team would come out with a little bit more fire, but they're not. And in the West, I'm really surprised with the Jazz. I didn't see this team winning 10 in a row.
Well, I told you they would be a good team. In fact, I think that they would be somewhere right there as far as battling for third in the Western Conference, but they are exceeding even my expectations. And as far as Miami's concerned, who lost the Clippers tonight, and now that puts the Clippers ahead of the Lakers, who are now down to third place in the Western Conference, it now looks like it's going to be an uphill battle here from here on out for the Lakers if they want to go ahead and find some comfort room, or at least try and get some space once again, like they had before, not too long ago in the Western Conference. But before we head on out, you got to go ahead and check out all the articles that he's doing on Medium.com, and also as well, not only his Medium.com page, but also as well, Lakerholics.com. And Laker Tom, again, how many angry articles are coming up in your not too distant future for Lakerholics.com?
I'm really not angry. It's just a regular season game. And in many ways, as the Lakers showed last year, the regular season really doesn't matter that much. I think that what we're seeing that's more important to me is, I think Frank Vogel is still playing around with lineups, still trying to see what combinations work. It's interesting. There's a lot of talk that Caruso should be getting more minutes. I think that we've seen, and this could well be because of their lack of experience in winning situations. We've seen Trez and Dennis slump a little bit now, not looking as sharp. We've seen Gasol and Matthews not looking as good as they did earlier in the year. And so you've got your four new players who haven't produced as much. And I think, as we've all talked about, it's always been sort of controversial, the change in strategy of how we're playing defense, considering the personnel that we have at center. You know, it's kind of remarkable. I looked at the defensive lineups, the defensive ratings, and Trez's rating is not bad at all. And the starting lineup has been generally one of our best, one of our strengths, but yet we've seen in two games in a row now, our starting lineup has given up a lot of points in that first quarter instead of coming out and really clamping down and showing that kind of defense that's there. So I think some of it is boredom. Some of it is just the tiredness of we're getting into what is the doldrum parts of the season. I have to admit that at this point in time, maybe a week ago, I wasn't even thinking of that there were possibilities for trades for the Lakers. In fact, the only trade I proposed was the one for Chris Boucher, sending Talen Horton Tucker and Wes Matthews for Chris Boucher. And I'd make that trade in a moment's notice, even though I'm a huge.
You got to remember, though, this is something we didn't talk about before. I was on board with it. I'm not as much now because there's an 8-year gap in age, just to let you know. Yep. Chris Boucher is 28. So I'm right. Not,
I'd rather trade THT for Wayne Ellington if we're going to trade for anybody. get that shooting on the Lakers, man.
Well, you don't know about that. But I think that there's other situations that are out there that, you know, I think we do have to address something before the trade deadline. I think we have to do something for the center position.
I agree.
So that's what I'm working on now, is what options we might realistically have in order to improve the situation for the center.
Yeah.
I do think we have enough guards. And so the question is obviously, though, that we have only two centers. Any trades that we could make, there's all this talk about how February 28th or whenever it is that we finally have the hard cap, the amount that we're below the hard cap the prorated veteran minimum salary falls low enough so that we could squeeze somebody under the hard cap. And the question is, who out there who's not signed by anybody as a center is really going to solve our problem?
And there really isn't anybody out there.
They'd be on a team if they were any good. They'd be on a team.
Yeah, if they're
they're going to be good. I mean,
they're looking for a guy just like we are.
Right.
So what it comes down to is if the Lakers want to improve that situation at center, they're going to have to give up something that they value at one of the other positions. And that's what I'm looking at, is what types of deals could possibly be made where you know, if you want to get something good, you got to give up something good in this league. Sean.
I had a trade proposal.
Okay.
Alex Caruso and a second round pick for Naz Reid from the Wolves. Do you think that would help?
I don't know anything about Naz Reid.
Not defensively.
See this head? So this head shake the tail.
He's a Caruso goat guy.
Here's the thing. I love Caruso. That team is bad on defense because of one particular player. And I'll give you a hint. He's a former Laker.
Yeah, we all know who it is. Yes.
He has the worst plus minus in this league. He is minus 165. Wow. The next player on the list is minus 117.
Wow.
That's bad.
That's bad.
I played around with some trades for Caruso, and I put him back on the tip, pulled him out of those trades before I've even finished them. It's kind of interesting. I'll tell you the trade that I'm working on. See what anybody thinks of this. I would offer Dennis Schroeder and Mark Gasol to Indiana for Miles Turner. They need a point guard very badly.
Yeah, but then we got nobody but LeBron to make plays.
Are you sure? Because Malcolm Brogdon's on the game.
He's playing a shooting guard. They treat him as a shooting guard.
But he can also play point.
He's a combo guard, but he's really more of a shooting guard.
Being paid also $25 million, it's not like Herb Simon is known to spend money.
Three-year $18 million contract. I hate to give up Dennis Schroeder, but the other side of it is, because I love how Schroeder can get to the basket, but the other side of it is, he's a gamble on defense and he's a gamble on offense. And we have somebody that I think, and this is a complete flip around from my previous position, because I do value Schroeder and I do value THT. But I also tend to think that THT at some point is going to be our starting point guard.
I think he has a long way to go before.
And I can't help but love the idea of Miles Turner and Anthony Davis as our front court.
I think
he's a perfect guy to play with AD because he can stretch the floor and he can protect the rim.
I agree with all that. I think that one of our big problems this year is specifically Anthony Davis's numbers. They're all down. He's scoring and rebounding and blocking shots like his second in rookie years.
Yep.
That is not the player that we gave a max contract extension
to.
That's
not the player that
just
was
a few months ago.
Defensive player of the year last year.
He's not going to win defensive player of the year. It's already gone.
He was last year.
It's already gone. He wasn't. He did not win that last year.
Imagine him and Miles Turner. They would shut down the rim from everybody.
I would be into that.
There is a center out there that I think can really help us. But the problem is he's on a max contract. He's on an expiring deal, and we'd have to give up, something of value to the Charlotte Hornets for Cody Zeller. But Cody Zeller could really help the Lakers. The way he plays, the way he hustles. Yes, Gerald.
I think maybe Cody Zeller for a highly protected second-round pick maybe will do, but outside of that, I wouldn't trade much.
Okay. I'd be cool with that. He hustles on defense. He plays really hard. He screens well. He's a body. LeBron
he's
played
a body.
Defense with Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Gerald. He can make it work with Cody Zeller.
That was like 5-6 years ago, though, 7 years ago.
But he's not going to really scare any teams from going inside. That's the thing. You need to find somebody that's going to go ahead and be more imposing and give up less points.
He can spread the floor like Gasol can. He'll shoot better probably than Gasol, and he can protect the rim. 2 years in a row, he's led the league in blocks. He's not a great modern center from a defending on the perimeter, but he hits two of the three that you really want.
I think
Our problem is that we have the best center in the league, but he doesn't want to play center.
I think our problems are more internal, and I don't think there's one player that we can trade one of our minimum guys for that's gonna fix those problems.
No. I think we're looking at one of our stars.
We're looking at band-aids to fix leaky pipes. The world doesn't work like that. So
we're looking for band-aids to put over minor wounds.
So Tom, let me understand you if I understand you. Mm-hmm. So when March rolls around, you're not even gonna offer Schroeder an extension?
Listen, first off, there's all sorts of assumptions when you make a trade that the other team wants the deal that you're offering, that your analysis of their point guard situations. And I do think if you look at Indiana, there's been several articles out there already talking about Lonzo Ball. They need somebody at point guard who can
win
the game.
Here we go again.
I'm not saying that Lonzo Ball is the right answer for them or the Lakers. All I'm saying is that there's talk by people in Indiana that the Pacers' biggest need now is for somebody to run the point. And Schroeder is a perfect candidate for that. He's a perfect guy to go along with Brogdon. And there's still only a slight benefit to Turner and Sabonis playing together. So it's something that's possible. But if you know, I would do that trade in a moment because I think that Miles Turner, he's only 26 years old. He's the perfect fit for AD for the next 7 or 8 years. He's a great. He's a 33% career 3-point shooter. He'd be better in a situation like the Lakers, and he's a leading shot blocker. He would give us the defense that we need inside, and we have enough guards to cover for Schroeder, and we have LeBron James and Talen Horton-Tucker is going to start at some point over the next couple of years.
I'm just going to say this. Lonzo Ball is not the answer now.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that.
You said it earlier. I know Magic Man wanted to cover as far as your infatuation with Lonzo Ball, but you know that's really hard to do right now. But go ahead, Sean. Before we head on out.
Yeah, thanks, Gerald. I just want to say I don't believe Jeremy Lamb has played a minute yet for Nate Bjorkgren. He has? He's come back?
He's been a couple weeks. He's averaging about 15 to 16 points a game. I have him on one of my fantasy teams.
News to me. That's good to hear. I really don't see them going after a point guard now that Jeremy Lamb is back. He kind of fluidly
puts more of a shooting guard, too.
Yes.
He's not a point guard. Yes, he is.
I mean, Indiana has Malcolm Brogdon and Sabonis on the floor. You add another shooter like Lamb and facilitator. I think it's just going to blend everything together. Lonzo Ball isn't the answer for them. If you look at Lonzo Ball's progression,
they're looking for a playmaker.
The following players this year have more assists per game than Lonzo Ball. Tyrese Halliburton is a rookie. Bradley Beal is on a god-awful Wizards.
Well, Bradley Beal's going to cost you
Pascal Siakam.
And nobody's going to trade a young guy like Halliburton at this point in time.
I mean, we're kind of forgetting that Caris LeVert is on Indiana and will probably recover just fine from his surgery and be back before the end of the year. Like, I don't know.
Either.
Yeah, but, I mean, they've got a grip ton of guards. And between them, I mean, they list – technically, Indiana itself lists Malcolm Brogdon as a point guard. So, however they play him, they think of him as a point guard.
He's a shooting guard. He's a starting shooting guard.
I'm saying Indiana Pacers.
Look at the depth charts. Look at the depth charts on Basketball Insiders or any other websites.
Okay. As a shooting guard. It's not me that's saying this. I'm saying it's the Pacers is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then why are they looking for a point guard?
I think these people writing these articles are just trying to fill quotas because, again, Nate Bjorkgren comes from the rap system. Nick Nurse is one of his best friends. He saw how Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka worked together in the playoffs. I don't think
he might want Marc Gasol.
Miles Turner and Sabonis in his system. I don't see him separating them in your first season running a base defense. I don't see the logic.
I mean, there's not a lot of actual movement on any of these. It's like Pacers-Sixers blockbuster trade for Ben Simmons. Like, these are all just people filling out the time before the All-Star game.
That's what every trade is.
Right, yeah. 99 out of 100 of them never happened. How many trades have we debated that have never seen the light of day? Almost all of them. Like, it's almost always the trade you didn't see coming that you're like, oh, that's really going to change that team.
It's usually the trade for superstars that are going to force their way out of somewhere that happen the way you think they're going to happen.
Right.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Well, I'll tell you what, it's some interesting talk to see what the Lakers can possibly do for tweaks going forward, because, you know, just to get them out of this funk will probably be good enough, because the Lakers are in a little bit of a funk. Back-to-back losses. Yesterday's was a heartbreak. Today was just outright frustration as the Lakers did fall 107-92 to the Detroit Pistons. Guys, it's been great talking to you as always. Love the spirited conversation that you guys always seem to have when you're together.
Thank you.
I mean, yes. So I do enjoy
talking about the loss, man.
Yes. Anything.
I always come on for the losses. I do enjoy it when the Lakers win. I don't want anybody to think that sweet, Lakers lost. I'm going to go talk some shit. It's not how I roll. It's just how it works. You know, this year has been, since I stopped
when we,
doing.
When we win, we can talk about the wins, and when we lose, we'll talk about something else.
Yes,
that's the way the podcast goes.
Well, I think if we recalibrate our internal focus and start cleaning up some of these, a lot of these unforced turnovers, those are the ones that are killing us, that are allowing other teams to get out on the break. The things that we used to force other teams into doing, that's what we got to change. And the dreaded switch. The switch does not exist. Stop trying to flip it. Try hard the whole game. We'll be fine.
This was also one of those losses where Gerald received very little resistance from Tom, like being a fly trap catching a fly.
It is still early. Like you said, Sean, we're just past the quarter mark. There's three furlongs still to go in the race, and so, you know, like Tom's been saying, like we've all been saying, we're gonna be fine.
Yeah, tell me what loss last year was so devastating that you actually even remember it now.
I don't. That's why this one's so bad.
In the regular season? Yeah. Opening night to the Clippers last season was devastating because that team was so pumped.
Opening night this season was devastating too because it was the first team of the year.
almost all the losses of the bubble.
That Portland game is the worst for me.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what happened.
No, there's a few I remember from last year.
Well, the bubble losses were, you know, I mean.
Well, because they made you worry so much. It was like, are we going to get it together?
Not 4 months, you know?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. I think we should be better than we are, but.
But some people are worry warts and some people are optimists.
Some people are realists and other people are unrealistic.
That's another way of looking at it.
And then there's me.
With Tom and Gerald, it's just not that the glass is half empty. It's chipped. Hey, Gerald,
it's full versus totally. It's totally full versus totally empty.
Last night, my glass was overflowing even more than yours last night. Unfortunately, today, the glass is broken and it's been taken off the table entirely. All right, guys.
You need some Band-Aids to fix that leak.
Well, we'll see what happens. If they beat Boston, you never know. You never know.
Tom, we need a successful
Boston is worth two games.
I agree. Maybe three. Not even in the standings.
Friday? No, can't be Friday. Yeah. That's tomorrow.
No.
Saturday.
It's Saturday, Monday, and the road trip's done.
The only thing good about the road trip is that I can still watch a movie after the game's over.
hopefully you'll be watching something more uplifting than what we saw today.
Oh, man, I watched a terrible movie last night.
The Piano.
There.
No, it was called Synchrony.
Okay.
New sci-fi movie.
Ah.
Which immediately draws my attention. Every sci-fi movie, it just sucked. Anthony Mackie, who I liked. Mr. America, you know. Captain America.
Well, the Lakers didn't do much better today because they did fall to the Detroit Pistons 107-92. They did fall into the predicted by Jamie Sweet trap, our own Admiral Akbar of the Lakers fast break. Again,
concentrate all firepower on that Star Destroyer.
Yes. Well, if you have any questions for us here, it's at Lakers fast break, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Or please be part of the conversation with these guys today at LakerHolics.com. Well, guys, we'll go ahead and we'll get them on Saturday. We need to. Big thank you to Chris Couch Coach Powell for giving us the thumbs up on today's show. We truly appreciate it. Once again, we will. Once again, we will. Stop playing with your ear. Once again, we will be here on Saturday. Just kidding, Sean. Just kidding. Once again, we will be here on Saturday right after the Boston game. We truly appreciate it. Again, for all of everybody out there listening and watching. So stay tuned to us right after the game, right here on the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.